Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Stephen. All right, now last week, the risk of theme that was very evident in markets. And now with North Korea still stoking the fires of geopolitical concerns over the weekend, are you expecting a continued rise in safe haven assets this week?
Yeah, good morning, Han. Yeah, it's an incredibly complex markets we're dealing with. You know, on the political front, we've seen Trump-style reaching out to China to aid in the intervention of the regional flare-up in North Korea. But, you know, if we just look at stuff in general, you know, after that large non-nuclear bomb that was dropped in Afghanistan, we've seen the U.S. Naval group position themselves within striking distance of North Korea. And I think the market's certainly going to price these factors in a little bit more aggressively as we enter the beginning of the week, given that Friday was a market holiday. And we're starting to pick up the pieces today. In fact, we've seen the gold market, which has been one of the key safe haven themes, seen gold pop up $5 this morning. So I think that risk-off theme and those global concerns are going to continue weighing on investor sentiment, at least for the start of the week, until we hear something more concrete. But yeah, it appears that we're certainly living in a more irritable and scarier world over the last fortnight. So I think caution is the way to approach these markets over the short term.
Now, Stephen, also heading into this past weekend, the U.S. Treasury, they released their latest foreign currency report. Six countries kept on its monitoring list. Let's go through the list here. China, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Germany, and Switzerland. How do you think that report will shape trading activity for those six currencies in particular?
Well, you know, it's interesting that the report didn't really create any large waves. I think the market was pretty much expecting what came out of that. And, you know, the one key thing, they didn't label anybody a currency manipulator, and I think that would have been a market reaction because the market wasn't expecting that. So if the report came out a little bit more aggressively, we could have seen you know, a market move to that in that regard. But if anything, the U.S. has been a little bit more hawkish language towards Forex intervention policies. You know, we've seen this in the past, but I think there's going to be greater emphasis, or there has to be greater transparency when countries do intervene, especially if they're intervening to weaken the currency. And I think what we're also seeing is, you know, hints towards greater fiscal movements within these countries to accommodate the economy as opposed to relying on currency manipulation. And I think there's going to be a lot to be ironed out on here, but you know, I don't view the Treasury report as any indicator as to how the currency trends are going to go. I mean, we're dealing with this broader picture of geopolitical risk that's hit the market right now, and I think that's going to be the primary driver, especially more so for the emerging market currencies that are labeled on this list.
But yet, we've got comments from U.S. President Donald Trump saying the dollar is too strong. Do you think those effects have been fully priced in into the markets already?
Well, you know, I think it just caught the market off guard. You know, we always we have to be very cognizant of the president's comments. You know, at that time, the dollar was reeling. And, you know, it just added further impetus into the downward movement in the U.S. dollar. You know, it's interesting though that, you know, the verbal intervention coming out of Donald Trump is something that he's complaining about other countries doing. So I think we have to be a little bit cautious about what's behind all of these comments and whether, you know, to take everything with the you know, take a lot of these comments with a grain of salt. Personally, I think that was just a knee-jerk reaction. But I think the bigger issue here is that we're still focused, and I hate to harp on this again, is just geopolitical risk, which is really muddied up the macro drivers in the markets right now. So it confuses what the macro drivers that were really supporting the U.S. dollar over the past, you know, past year, and now we're moving into a different game plan. So, you know, things are a little bit muddied up as as we look towards the dollar outlook over the near term.
But it looks like it's not just the U.S. dollar that's all muddied up, because we've got recent comments, again, from Donald Trump, you know, tying in China's stance on its currency with how China deals with North Korea. Essentially, Trump is implying that, you know, he will refrain from labeling China as a currency manipulator, depending on how they, you know, how hard a stance China takes on North Korea. So again, okay, you say that the U.S. dollar is muddied up, but what about the Chinese yuan, though? Can investors separate, you know, the macro drivers, you know, and his bullish outlook on China's economic growth versus, you know, China's, you know, getting caught up in all these geopolitical tensions?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most difficult things that investors are dealing with right now. I think that China is a unique situation. First of all, obviously, the geographic proximity to the heat spot in North Korea is going to weigh on investor sentiment, no doubt. And how we continue to reprice this geopolitical risk, well, we'll see how that plays out in the near term. But I think Asia, obviously, the Asia Pacific and the ASEAN region will likely feel the brunt of a good piece of this asset repricing. But as far as China goes itself, and as far as the yuan goes itself, I think domestically we have to really concern ourselves with banking systems and the asset bubbles and the fact that, you know, the GDP data that we're anticipating later on today. I mean, a lot of this is really built on a huge amount of spend. And the real concern that investors are looking at is whether this asset bubble is sustainable or not, especially in the housing markets in China. And there's a real threat that one of these bubbles could pop. And I think this is one of the bigger risks that the market's focused on China right now. You know, given that we have all, you know, this data that comes out, I think the real problems in China are really centered around the potential asset bubbles.
Now, you mentioned that GDP announcement by China this morning. Do you have a number that you're looking at? And also, how about the industrial production index? Any figures that you're eyeing?
Well, you know, the industrial production, I'm looking at to come out about the same as last month. But while the GDP, I'm thinking it's going to comfortably remain above 6.5%. I don't see any big shift, downward shift there. Neither do I expect anything upwards. But again, I think it all boils back to this whole macro situation that continues to grow on credit. And I think this is what's really worrying international investors. You know, we're looking at the overall indebtedness creeping towards 300%. And that's the most of it's concentrated in the corporate center. So certainly bubble trouble is one of the major concerns. And I think this is people will analyze these numbers accordingly. And I think that in the back of their mind, they're going to keep this bubble trouble first and foremost in the front of their minds.
Now, looking ahead, though, we're going to look at April 23rd. France expected to hold the first round of its presidential elections. So from now until, say, this time next week, you know, will it be primarily a wait and see on the euro?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I haven't seen a big push lower on the euro, despite the polls showing a tightening up. I think it's the complexity of the election, the way these are drawn out, leads me to believe that the markets are going to take a wait and see. This, despite that the you know, the tightening in the race is contributing to a heightened anxiety. So I think, given the climate that we're dealing with right now, with so much of these geopolitical tensions, I think the market really is taking a wait and see how these numbers actually play out. I mean, especially considering that we had gone through Brexit and most of the market had called that wrong, and we'd also gone through in the U.S. election and most of the market had called that wrong too. So I think markets learned its lessons, just to wait and see. And I think from that point on, we'll have a clearer picture on what direction the euro should take.
And I'm sure we'll be checking in with you after the fact as well. Hey, Stephen, thank you so much for the time and the insights there. That was Stephen Innes, Senior Asia Pacific Forex Trader with Oanda.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Ooh, the moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.